It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Obamacare upheld. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. In a 7-2 decision today, the U.S. Supreme Court has rejected a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. The ruling protects the health care status of 20 million Americans. Republican prosecutors in 28 states argued Obamacare was unconstitutional. Legal analyst Pete Williams.
This is not a decision on the merits. This is simply a decision saying these states didn't have the legal standing to bring this case.
The justices also ruled today 9-0 in a case that pits religion versus gay rights. The high court decided in favor of a Catholic foster care agency out of Philadelphia. That not-for-profit has won the right to deny foster care services to gay and lesbian couples. The agency says to do otherwise would violate their deeply held religious beliefs. We'll have more reaction to that story later in the broadcast. The heat is on out west. The Great American Bake Off continues in several western states. Meteorologist Jeff Berardelli.
114 in Las Vegas, 110 in Fresno. It is the peak of the heat wave along the west coast. No picnic in places like Denver, although a little cooler, right around 92 degrees.
40 million Americans are under heat advisories today, from the Plain States to the Pacific Coast. Steve Futterman continues our coverage.
In California, this man in Santa Monica has come up with a plan.
I got a bunch of wet rags in my freezer, you know what I mean? When I go out, I put them on my head.
But in other places, that doesn't work.
It's insanely hot today. We're dying at home.
The heat wave's extending into Arizona, Nevada, Utah, even states to the north like Wyoming and Montana. People are being forced to use their air conditioners nonstop, and that's putting pressure on power grids.
Matt Bigler with KCBS Radio in Los Angeles.
Good luck finding a portable air conditioning unit at Dutton Hardware.
So currently we're out of stock of them.
Global supply chain problems have caused shortages of AC units and parts for repairs. Elizabeth Jung with the Ace Hardware Distributor suggests something else to beat the heat. Swimming pools, the kiddie kind.
I think I've sold 3 just today. They're going to have fun with it, but then they can only refill it once because of all the water shortages and the drought we're in.
Matt Bigler, California.
In Death Valley, California, the hottest place on planet Earth, the mercury read 125 degrees on Wednesday. That's just 9 degrees off the world record of 134, which was set in 1913 there in Death Valley. Summit scorecard. President Biden has wrapped up his first overseas trip as commander-in-chief and is hailing that high-stakes summit in Switzerland with Russia's Vladimir Putin.
I did what I came to do. The bottom line is I told President Putin that we need to have some basic rules of the road.
Stark divisions remain, though, over key issues, including human rights and cyber crimes. Correspondent Peter Alexander.
The White House unable to tout any significant tangible progress on Russia. The president says we'll see what happens, but his critics are going to hold him to a tight timeline.
One of those critics is former President Donald Trump.
We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
We all wanted President Biden to be successful. We want America to be secure and safe. This was a disaster.
In his post-summit press conference, the president lost his temper with a reporter who asked him a question about Vladimir Putin. Media critic Joe Concha.
Caitlin Collins, CNN, asked a very reasonable question, which is, how can you be so confident that Vladimir Putin's going to change his behavior, and then he becomes Grandpa Simpson, where he starts yelling at her, starts pointing his finger at a female journalist? I could only imagine if we saw, I don't know, Donald Trump do something like that, this would be a chilling attack
Biden,
on the press.
That's Joe Concha, media critic. Biden and Putin did agree at their summit to resume diplomatic ties and will form working groups to tackle issues ranging from cyber crimes to arms control. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is putting a $250 million down payment on the construction of a border wall. That announcement comes as a surge of illegal immigrants continues to flow across the southern border.
Homes are being invaded. Neighborhoods are dangerous and people are being threatened. On a daily basis, Texas is stepping up to get the job done.
Governor Abbott says the Biden administration has abandoned the southern border, so Texas will act to protect itself. The U.S. will soon have a new federal holiday. Juneteenth, or June 19th, will be America's 12th federal holiday. It commemorates the end of slavery. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
The only holiday that refers Americans back to the original sin, when people were actually held as property.
The Juneteenth National Independence Day, as it will be known, is the first new federal holiday in this country since Martin Luther King Jr. Day was created in 1983. Critics say the language in the new holiday conflicts with our 4th of July holiday, Independence Day, which celebrates the country's founding. Japan will end its state of emergency ahead of the upcoming Olympic Games. That report from Rory O'Neill.
Effective this Sunday, the state of emergency covering Tokyo and other big cities in Japan will come to an end. By relaxing but not eliminating COVID restrictions, the hospitality industry will get some breathing room ahead of the Olympic Games that start in just 5 weeks. Some social distancing will remain in effect through at least July 11th. Japan continues to lag in its vaccine rollout, with only about 16% of the population getting at least one dose of a COVID vaccine. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Tennis great Rafael Nadal has pulled out of Wimbledon and will not compete in the Summer Olympics in Japan either. The Spaniard says he made that decision after listening to his body. The 35-year-old Nadal and Swiss sensation Roger Federer have each won 20 Grand Slam titles, the most of any player in tennis history. It's 5 past the hour, and still to come on the Noon Report for Thursday, Tom Ridge in the hospital. We'll tell you how he's doing. Are New York lawmakers covering for Cuomo and the effort to save girls' sports? Our Brandon Dixon will have that report right after this.
Good afternoon. A beautiful day underway across the land, but some showers are in the forecast as we head toward the end of the week. I'll be back with forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, we will see you then. Kevin Williams, thank you very much. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania. A pro-family group in Pennsylvania is reacting today to the Supreme Court ruling on a Christian foster care agency from Philadelphia.
We're absolutely ecstatic that Catholic Services is going to be able to continue to serve the children in Philadelphia to make sure that they can have homes with loving moms and dads.
That's Jeremy Samick with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. The court ruled 9-0 this morning in favor of Catholic Social Services.
We're still working through the entire decision, but it appears to be something that is going to have some effects on other organizations and protecting some religious liberty for other organizations as well. So we're happy about that.
We'll see how precedent-setting this case was. The decision means the not-for-profit in Philadelphia can refuse to place foster care kids in the homes of gay and lesbian couples. Former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge suffered a stroke yesterday at his home near Washington, D.C. The 75-year-old underwent a successful surgery to remove a blood clot. Ridge served as governor of Pennsylvania from 1995 to 2001. Before that, he was a congressman and later became the nation's first Homeland Security Secretary under former President George W. Bush. New York Republican Party Chairman Nick Langworthy is blasting the state legislature for leaving Albany last week without taking up the impeachment probe of Governor Cuomo.
The cesspool of Albany corruption is deeper than ever, and the stench reaches all the way from the state capitol right here to Western New York.
Langworthy says two Western New York Assembly members on the Judiciary Committee, who are supposed to be investigating the governor, attended a party earlier this month at the governor's mansion.
They sat there and had a lovely evening with the governor, someone that they're supposed to be investigating right now. This is an outrageous breach of ethical conduct, in a blatant conflict of interest. There's no other way to slice it.
Governor Cuomo is under investigation on several fronts, ranging from COVID nursing home deaths to sexual harassment claims from several women who used to work for him. New York Republicans are calling for an end to the governor's pandemic powers. It's because of these powers that kids are still wearing masks to school.
One issue which many of us have been calling for, especially the impact it's had on our children and having to wear the mask in schools. I think that's just another reason why we really need to look to end this emergency powers and this emergency declaration.
That's Corning Assemblyman Phil Palmisano, State Senator Tom O'Mara.
47 times we moved to revoke his emergency powers, and 47 times every Democrat in the state Senate voted to not terminate those powers.
Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort is blasting the state legislature for not reining in the governor's emergency powers last week. Pennsylvania is doing a good job at vaccinating its elderly population against the virus. Family Life's Bill Price.
Almost every single Pennsylvanian 65 and older has received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The CDC says the Keystone State has reached nearly every single senior. That accounts for over 2 million Pennsylvania residents. The state ranks eighth in the U.S. when it comes to those 18 and older having received at least one dose. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Bill. COVID vaccination rates remain low in rural parts of New York's southern tier in towns like Greenwood, Jasper, Woodhull, Addison, and Prattsburg. The vaccination rate is hovering around 40%. Steuben County Health Director Darlene Smith.
It is the more rural areas that are more vaccine hesitant.
In nearby Chemung County, the towns of Erin and Beaver Dams also have a vaccination rate of around 40%. Statewide, the average is now 70%. Used cooking oil does not sound like a profitable thing to steal, but it is. Criminals across our listening area are making a whole lot of money, even more money than drug peddlers, going after this grease.
These people are making more money than the drug dealers. $400,000 tax-free just as a mule per year is a lot of money.
That's energy expert Sumit Manjumdar. He says stolen cooking oil can be converted into biodiesel, which there is a huge black market for. He says the pilfering of this substance has gotten so bad that many biodiesel refineries have had to close up shop.
In the Allentown area, our break-in rates are so bad. We're looking at about an 80% break-in rate. In Scranton, it's around, you know, a 50 to 60% break-in rate. Albany, 30 to 35%.
The Pennsylvania State Police has opened up a criminal investigation into cooking oil thievery throughout northeastern Pennsylvania. Researchers at the University of Rochester in upstate New York are working with NASA on a space project. They're helping design a $600 million telescope that can detect asteroids, which could be on a collision course with Earth.
The main purpose of the mission is to find a lot of different asteroids and comets that are out there. The goal is to find 90% of those objects within the first 10 years of operation.
Craig McMurtry is the senior research engineer at the U of R. The asteroid-seeking telescope is scheduled to launch in the year 2026. A pair of Christian parents in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, are suing the East Penn School District. They claim their children should be exempt from lessons concerning the Black Lives Matter movement. These parents claim their children's classrooms have been turned into indoctrination factories. The curriculum includes lessons on systemic racism, white fragility, and white privilege. A group of conservative Pennsylvania lawmakers are fighting to save girls' sports. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Legislation in the works in Harrisburg would ban the transgendered from playing on interscholastic girls' sports teams. The so-called Fairness in Women's Sports Act would protect gender equality in sports and ensure a level playing field for girls and women. The lawmakers who are sponsoring the bill, all of them women, argue that transgender females who were assigned boys at birth have an inherent physical advantage over those who are girls from birth. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. It's 13 past the hour. The two-minute drill is next in sports with Sonny Delphiet.
Let's start with some facts. The Philadelphia 76ers entered last night's game against the Atlanta Hawks 165-0 when leading by at least 25 points. They were up by 26 points, but that's why they play the game.
And this is going to be an Atlanta victory in Game 5. What a comeback and what a collapse by the Sixers.
Trae Young's 39 points led the way back to an unbelievable 109-106 win against the Sixers.
We always have belief that we're in the game.
Philadelphia became the only team to lose back-to-back 18-point leads in their loss. Head coach Doc Rivers.
This is part of sports. You know, you have some awful moments. There's no guaranteed path to get into your goal. We have made this hard on ourselves.
Atlanta leads that best of seven series 3-2. They can clinch tomorrow. In Utah, the Clippers play without an injured Kawhi Leonard, but Paul George put on a show, 37 points, 16 boards, 5 assists in LA's 119-111 win.
We wish Kawhi the best in a speedy recovery, but we knew coming into this, we had to play together, we had to step up. But we didn't have to overly do it.
LA is up 3-2 in that series. Tonight, the Nets will look to punch their ticket when they visit the Bucks in Game 6 in Milwaukee. Brooklyn up 3-2. To the ice, the Golden Knights fall to the Canadiens 3-2. That series now tied at 1. And the Islanders battled the Lightning tonight in Long Island. That series also tied at 1. Gerrit Cole gave up 2 runs over 8 innings. Yankees beat the Blue Jays in Buffalo 3-2. Cleveland sent the Orioles to their 18th straight road loss with an 8-7 victory. Pirates losing streak at 10 straight now, falling to the Nationals 3-1. Rhys Hoskins homered. Phillies beat the Dodgers 2-0. Jacob deGrom dominant on the mound, striking out 8 of the 9 batters he faced before leaving early with right shoulder soreness. Mets beat the Cubs 6-3. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
All right, Sonny, thank you very much. And still to come on the Noon Report for Thursday, the Nick Wallenda Walk in Western New York, now just a few hours away. Supreme Court rules today, some major decisions this morning, and a conversation about brokenness with Christian author and speaker Sheila Walsh.
When a bad idea like expressive individualism creeps into medicine, there will be victims, and they will be the most vulnerable. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In a rather stunning op-ed at CNN a couple weeks ago, a medical doctor offered an answer to one of the great worldview questions. What is the highest good? Bodily autonomy, wrote Dr. Alexis Drucis, is the highest human right and should trump all other considerations in medical decision-making. Adults with capacity should hold the ultimate authority over their own bodies and the medical decisions for their minor children. That's what she wrote. In his most recent book, What It Means to Be Human, The Case for the Body and Public Bioethics, bioethicist Dr. Carter Sneed directly addressed the growing influence of expressive individualism over medicine. And this op-ed was an example. This vision of the human being, as Dr. Sneed put it, as an atomized and solitary will which equates human flourishing solely with the capacity to formulate and pursue future plans of one's own invention, is causing, as he put it, mission creep in the medical community. Instead of treating sick bodies with a view to heal, bodies are now seen as arbitrary physical matter that should bend like clay to our wills, and medical ethics and science should just follow suit. If expressing our own wills is the first duty of expressive individualism, then accepting everyone else's expression is the second. Even doctors should comply, even if a patient's desired expression requires killing a healthy baby or cutting off a healthy body part or causing death upon request. Medicine has long had to balance bodily autonomy against other interests. For example, we just spent a year and a half wearing masks, socially distancing away from airplanes and crowded restaurants, and Zooming church services in order to fight a virus. Another example, doctors don't give narcotics to anyone who asks, and they don't perform weight loss surgery on dangerously thin patients with eating disorders. In fact, they can be prosecuted if they do. Now, to get around this problem with her analysis, Dr. Drucis adds the caveat that full autonomy only belongs to adults with capacity. That's her words. What's not clear here is what counts as capacity, how to define capacity, and who gets to decide who has achieved capacity. In reality, the medical community is increasingly paying lip service to a philosophy that it doesn't really intend to keep and can't actually live by. For starters, not all expressions are treated with the same degree of fanfare as this doctor implies and does. Consider how detransitioners, those who've undergone so-called gender transition but later regret it, are treated by both medical institutions and in the media as either non-existent or dishonest. Now, of course, the very concept of bodily autonomy was originally a Christian contribution, one given to an often cruel and barbaric world. Far from suggesting that our bodies are mere heaps of matter for us to do with what we will, the Christian view was that to defile the body, either our own or another's, is to violate the image of God. Regardless of how old, how young, how healthy, or how sick, a Christian view is that our bodies are not our own. You're bought with a price, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The fundamental difference between the kind of bodily autonomy that Christianity gave the world and what's widely assumed today lies in whether or not the body itself is designed by a higher power. A Christian view of bodily autonomy, or perhaps integrity could be a better word, is shaped by the larger telos, or purpose, for which we were made. The world needs this witness, especially right now. And without it, everyone will suffer. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Got another nice looker out there today. Kevin Williams standing by at the Weather Center.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Bright and sunny, high temperatures in the 70s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low temperatures 50s for most. For tomorrow, some morning sunshine and clouds gather. Some afternoon showers and rumbles are likely in much of the area except eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures 70s and low 80s. Saturday, variable cloudiness, a little sunshine, a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers. High temperature Saturday will be near 80.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. It's 20 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on this Thursday afternoon, the 17th of June. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today in favor of Obamacare in a 7-2 decision. It rejected a challenge from more than two dozen states that had sued over the Affordable Care Act, calling it unconstitutional. Legal analyst Pete Williams.
Other states could try again the same legal challenge, and if they can find enough ways to get people together and cobble up another case, Obamacare could face yet another challenge.
The justices also ruled today 9-0 in favor of a Christian adoption agency out of Philadelphia. The Catholic not-for-profit was sued for refusing to place foster care kids in the homes of gay and lesbian couples. Legal Eagles are calling the unanimous decision a huge win for faith-based foster care agencies. President Biden is back in the U.S. of A. after a week overseas, which ended with a high-stakes summit in Switzerland.
Returning to the White House overnight, President Biden seemed pleased after his three-hour summit with Russian President Putin.
The tone of the entire meetings, good. Positive.
The two leaders emerged with some potential compromises, but the two signaled they're still at odds over issues like cybersecurity and human rights.
That report from Ed O'Keefe in Washington, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he gives the upper hand in those talks to the Russian dictator, Vladimir Putin.
Biden has no idea who Putin is. The only thing he's going to respond to is when you threaten his power. And I saw nothing coming out of this summit threatening Putin's power.
Biden and Putin did agree at that summit to resume diplomatic ties and will form what are called working groups to tackle issues ranging from cyber crimes to arms control. The building of the border wall has officially begun in the state of Texas. Governor Greg Abbott has made a $250 million down payment for construction costs.
The combination of state land as well as volunteer land will yield hundreds of miles to build a border wall in Texas.
Governor Abbott says the Biden administration has abandoned the border and the wall is necessary to slow the flow of illegal immigrants. No heat relief for the western U.S., where triple-digit temperatures have raised drought and fire concerns.
Record drought and sweltering heat are baking the western U.S. Palm Springs, California hit 113 degrees and is bracing for triple digits the rest of the week. A brush fire in the Bay Area quickly spread, burning multiple homes and hinting at what could be a long fire season.
This time of the year, we're not used to seeing this type of fire.
In Texas, temperatures are putting a strain on the state's power grid.
Nearly 50 million Americans under heat advisories today. Juneteenth, officially a federal holiday. Reporter Rebecca Kaplan.
The House and Senate have officially voted to designate June 19th as Juneteenth National Independence Day to commemorate the day in 1865 when Major General Gordon Granger announced in Galveston, Texas, that all slaves were free in accordance with the Emancipation Proclamation. The holiday is currently observed in 47 states and the District of Columbia.
Juneteenth is the first new federal holiday since MLK Day was created back in 1983. Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, will charge a $1,500 fee for unvaccinated students who wish to return to campus this fall. This student says that's just not fair.
And the fact is that the COVID vaccines didn't follow a conventional FDA approval process, and they haven't been tested like other vaccines. And each person should be free to decide for themselves and not be punished, especially when it involves their health.
Students at Rhodes College who are opposed to vaccines can still file for medical or religious exemptions. Over 100 colleges in this country have announced mandatory vaccine requirements for students returning to campus this fall. New figures indicate that COVID hospitalizations are highest in states where vaccination rates are the lowest. Wyoming, for instance, has the greatest percentage of COVID patients in intensive care of any state in the country right now, and just 30% of Wyoming is vaccinated against the virus.
The rate of hospitalization among vaccinated people is 94% less than the unvaccinated.
That's Dr. Sean Grant with the National Institutes of Health. There's a troubling find when it comes to the coronavirus and church life. Correspondent Michael Harrington.
Lifeway Research reports that during the worst of 2020, when many houses of worship were closed due to the coronavirus, only about 40% of Protestant Christians took the time to check in on other members of the congregation. Lifeway editor Aaron Earle says, quote, "The pandemic revealed an already present issue amongst churchgoers, but it also granted an opportunity to correct that issue. As we move past social distancing, we should also leave spiritual distancing behind."
Michael Harrington in Washington. It's 25 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, author and Bible teacher, Sheila Walsh. Sheila, you are a woman known well for your refreshing transparency in your walk with God, including some of the toughest circumstances, even noting the phrase, "I'm not good enough, and I'm good with that." Would you address that concept for our listeners?
You know, it's so interesting, Tracy. I think that so many of us as Christian women struggle with feeling like we don't measure up. And yet, if you actually dig deep to the very foundation of our faith, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because we're not enough. I spent so much of my life trying to pursue perfection, and it almost killed me until I switched it to following Christ, who is perfect, and accepting the fact that until you and I see Jesus face to face, we're going to fall down. We're going to make mistakes. But as C.S. Lewis said, the one thing that separates Christianity from almost every other religion on the planet is grace. The grace of God, which is his love stooping to meet us where we are.
Yes, what a beautiful picture. Recently, I had this scary moment of rage. Maybe I was triggered by a past betrayal, but afterwards, I was pretty disappointed that I had allowed that to build up and then erupt in me. How can we move beyond the struggles of pain to what God wants to do in the future inside us and through us?
It's just so interesting the way that God redeems our brokenness and redeems our fallen places. I read a phrase by a guy called Lewis Smead that's like redemptive remembering. Christ wants to take us back to the places where we fell or we were broken or we were bruised, but change how we remember those places. Realize that he was there so that when those little triggers come, we're able immediately to lift them to him. And honestly, I think it's when we recognize our weakness that we rely more on the Lord. You know, we put on these great faces and it looks like we've all got it together, but every single one of us is broken. I discovered in the darkest night of my life that my brokenness is a far greater bridge to other people than pretend wholeness will ever be.
I was just going to bring that up. How does that perspective of brokenness impact the way we see other people?
I almost don't really trust people until they've been through something hard. I remember, I think it was Elgar who'd written this beautiful, beautiful piece, and there's a vocal piece in it. And he was sitting in a theater in London listening. She was a young singer, and the person beside him said to him, "What did you think of her voice?" And he said, "It was really beautiful, but it will be quite something when she's been broken." There's something about the very act of coming face to face with the fact that no matter how long we've served the Lord, no matter how long we've known the Lord, we are all broken, that changes how we see other people. You can't extend grace to someone when you haven't been soaked to the skin in grace yourself.
You're going to be at this women's conference, Life Women's Conference at Summit University near Scranton next month.
I just would encourage women to come. I know that 2020 was a hard year and we all thought, well, the minute January 1st hits, woohoo, it's going to be great. And there's still so much that's very hard. So I would just really encourage women to grab a friend, grab a sister. And let's gather together and laugh and worship and dig deep into the Word of God.
And that's coming up near Scranton, July 23rd and 24th. Sheila, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know today?
You know, one of the things that I've found great strength in is to take a few moments, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, if that's all you have, away from television, away from family, away from social media, and just sit in the presence of the Lord. You don't even have to have words. Just sit in the presence of the Lord and let Him love you.
That's author Sheila Walsh. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, great conversation. Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report or online anytime. Just go to familylife.org. Click on the news icon.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure that has been delivering the beautiful weather of late will hang firm through tonight. But a disturbance will arrive to bring cloud cover, then some showers and rumbles later tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. The weekend that follows will be mixed, with Sunday likely the better of the two weekend days for outdoor plans. The forecast for this afternoon, bright and sunny, high temperatures in the 70s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low temperatures 50s for most. For tomorrow, some morning sunshine and clouds gather. Some afternoon showers and rumbles are likely in much of the area except eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures, 70s and low 80s. Saturday, variable cloudiness, a little sunshine, a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers. High temperatures Saturday will be near 80.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. And the man who walked across the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls on a high wire, well, he'll be performing this afternoon in Western New York. World famous Nick Wallenda will take his high wire act to DeUville College in Buffalo. The 320-foot walk from the school's library to a brand new health professions hub is the longest tightrope act ever attempted in the city of Buffalo, and Wallenda says he's looking forward to it.
I'm excited to come. It gives me an opportunity to meet with my friends and fans that are in Western New York, and just the fact that they created this opportunity for Western New York. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be returning.
It was 9 years ago, almost to the day, that Wallenda performed his death-defying walk across Niagara Falls. Hard to believe it's been that long. The wire Wallenda will walk this time is only 5/8 of an inch wide. It's 5 stories high. His high wire accolades have earned him 11 Guinness World Records. Last year, Wallenda made history becoming the first person to walk across an active volcano. DeUville College will be holding a block party this afternoon so folks can watch the high wire act as it happens. Right there in Buffalo, New York. Should be quite a sight. And that's the world we live in. Thursday, June 17th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report. Heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.